Welcome to episode one of the Frontal Harvest Podcast.
A podcast about science, technology, and education with digressions of our heart's content.
I'm Patrick.
And I'm Kelly. And together, we are the hosts of Frontal Harvest Podcast.
First, a bit about us. I'm a scientist. Currently, my research is focused on the human respiratory system mostly. And in practice, really, I do mostly microscopy and a lot of cell culture.
I'm an 8th grade science teacher, and I really enjoy technology, and actually, that's where we come together.
That's right. Okay, let's see. After this prepared intro, obviously a prepared intro, the podcast will be pretty much ad-lib.
But we will divide it into generally, three parts. First, we'll start talking about a recent blog entry. Second, we'll talk about our topics of interest. And third, our future plans.
Okay, so let's get started. And we both have our computers. This sounded pretty good to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking maybe we can keep this intro.
Okay, sounds great. I'll get started.
Okay.
Recently, we've been working on an orienteering project of ours. We've been involved in an orienteering club for the last 2 years, and this is the first year we will be planning a meet on our own. It has presented several challenges. First, we've picked an area that's not well mapped.
you know what's driving me crazy?
What?
Because I'm on this other computer, I don't have your blog entry in front of me, and I'm like, ah!
Oh, do you want it?
No.
That's okay. Have it up, ready
no,
to go.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, as I was saying, we have a map that is not well, we have an area that is not well mapped, and it has caused many problems. It's an area that's, part of it is a state park, part of it is state lands, and therefore can be logged, and so we will be going through an area, ready to set a flag, and we will find roads that we didn't anticipate that are not on our map. And that throws the whole contour of the land off, since the logging has really changed the way water flows over the land and the erosion in that particular area. So, we've been working at that for the last 4 weekends. And more.
Yeah, even more than that. So I thought, when we started this, I figured, oh, we're going to have to go out there a lot. Like
three times.
Three, four, maybe even. But I don't know. I've lost count of how many times we've been out tramping the woods out there.
Yeah. And we've gotten to a point where we've set a course. It's not a perfect course,
but it's pretty complete.
Happy.
Yeah.
And we're hoping to actually be able to go back to the area and map, which will have new challenges of its own.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the mapping.
Right.
I think that should be a lot of fun. Yeah, but I have no idea whether it's going to... Wow, I am really topping out. I know this is in the middle of everything, but maybe I should try to adjust the input level down just a bit.
Okay.
Or maybe turn it more towards you, I don't know. Is that better?
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, that's way lower, though, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, let me bring it back up a bit. Okay. Oh!
That was me.
Oh, that was a cough, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we were on the mapping.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I'm really looking forward to the mapping. Don't know if it's going to be feasible to do. I mean... Everything I hear about mapping is it takes a lot of time. So, but still, it should be a lot of fun.
Right. And we also have to contact the park and make sure that our course is going to be approved by the park rangers. So that's really our next step.
Yeah, I think that's the next step, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Along with that, I've been trying to do mapping using a program called Condis. And... it has been a challenge, and I'm like taking baby steps every time I sit down to it to get my controls on the map, get control cards set up, and have not printed yet.
Yep. Well, you printed some control cards for our last outing.
Right. But I couldn't print them because I made a PDF. I actually had to do something else.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's kind of counting for your blog entry?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So actually, I wasn't going to each of us talk about our own blog entries. I was thinking like we'd ask each other questions.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, no, I was thinking like I wasn't really going to cover mine, but I guess it makes sense to go ahead and cover it.
I just thought I'd do an overview and we could chime in.
Yeah. So, I mean, I wrote about, the last two Christmases and this mm-hmm. crazy idea you had on the, 2013 Christmas to get Raspberry Pis. And how I thought, man, this is just never going to work. So I guess for people who don't know and who haven't seen or haven't read the blog, we have two sons, Isaac and Luke. And Kelly's idea was that we were going to get Raspberry Pis for everybody. And everybody would be working at it together. And so...
Friendly family competition. That's what I was looking for.
Well, I mean, that's what happened, but I just did not see it at the time. And boy, am I happy that you went ahead and pushed for it, because we had a blast that day. And it wasn't just that day. I mean, it went on for days after Christmas that we were all working together with the Raspberry Pis.
Right. And 6 months later, my Raspberry Pi is stolen by Isaac.
Yes.
And he uses it to access our home network. Which kind of makes us both a little paranoid that it's open.
and then this last Christmas, 2014, it was Arduino robots.
Yes.
Which was also something I didn't expect was going to work. And everybody was playing around with them the whole day and everybody trying different things.
Right.
That's what's weird.
Right.
Everybody had their own vision of, oh, I want to do this. Mm-hmm. With both the 2013 and 2014 Christmases. So that was really neat.
So now we're on the lookout for any kind of new or old electronic gadget that we can put together in a 2 to 3 hour time period, and we have lots of availability for different projects.
Kelly, there's nothing like that. It's never going to work. I'm just telling you, just drop it. Just
so I'm thinking.
Normal presence this time. Electronic projects that everybody works on together is just not something that's possible.
Luke arrived home this weekend, and he goes, so I've been thinking about those drones.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
And I think he's thinking about the control he could have with an Arduino drone.
Okay. Should we call it for the blog entries?
I mean, yeah.
We didn't talk about everything in the entries, but that's kind of most of it. So part two, topics of interest. So did you want to go first or do you want me to?
Sure. I'll go first.
Okay.
One of the topics of interest I have right now is trying to use the Raspberry Pi at the school with students. And I'm trying to get a diverse group of students, and I'm trying to really encourage some girls to get involved, since my stronghold seems to be male. And I get waves of girls if I'm able to convince them to come at lunch. So I have to think of projects that will entice them and hopefully keep everybody going.
So this makerspace happens at lunch at school, right?
Well, yes, it does, but it will be expanded to the enrichment club. So I'll soon have an hour every 2 weeks to spend on it.
Right. So you did also do it once after school, once, right?
Yes, I did. I did it with after three. kids, the students that stay after to do homework, and leave school later, in the day. The reason I did that was I was trying to encourage a different group of students that may not have dealt with technology or played with technology. And that was a hit for many. It was the first time they got to play with Makey Makey, and they started to think about basic circuitry, completing the circuit and having to have a ground for everything to work. So it was interesting, and they were, I had several kids come up to me and ask me if I was going to do it again. So,
doesn't Isaac have a Makey Makey?
He does, but he doesn't have it here.
He took it.
He took it.
I just want to get my hands on one so bad since you remember that keyboard that I just totally took apart?
Yeah.
And yeah. I was trying to make it work, and that just takes a lot of time.
It does. So. And the kids are starting to do weird things with them. One group of boys I had, one group of boys I had took apart a calculator at school, and they were using the Makey Makey to try to figure out how the calculator worked and see if they could get something that it would be able to compute, but show the answers on the screen. And so they were starting to get numbers to appear. We couldn't quite get the different things to occur, like multiplication, division, addition. But then we found this YouTube video where...
So, wait a second. So they opened up the calculator.
They opened up the calculator.
And they were hooking up the Makey Makey to different, like, buttons on the inside.
Yeah. And they figured out how to get it connected so that when they touched the calculator, they could get numbers to appear on the screen.
Did they realize, I mean, probably they have to also find where the ground is on the calculator.
They did. They found where the ground was. So they were problem solving.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
At eighth grade. Yeah.
It was really exciting. The actual project didn't, you know.
Yeah, but that's fine if it doesn't come together, to fruition. But, you know, it's just like the quest. And then next time they do it, they'll be starting from that level, right?
So. Yeah. All of them want to come back and play with the calculator again.
Very cool.
They also have a STEM box waiting for them where they're going to be building a solar car.
Uh-huh.
And
oh, that's the competition.
The high school
something?
Competition.
Yeah.
And they want to win because they aren't in high school.
Right.
So they're very gung-ho, and it'll be exciting to see what they come up with.
Yeah, that's cool. So, what else?
That's pretty much it for this week.
So, I have a bunch and there's actually a couple things on here that you didn't see because I thought about them after I printed up my list of topics of interest.
I think that's cheating.
Anyway, so obviously, the first one, you know about this because we've been both so excited about this. But we made the plans for a printed circuit board, a PCB, and we sent them off to OSH Park, or I don't know if people say Osh Park or OSH Park, to have them made. And that is one fantastic service. And these boards just came back, 3-4 days ago?
Right. Don't forget about the purple packaging.
I know. Coming in this purple packaging.
The purple packaging.
And they look really good. Their breakout boards for 18 mega 328 chips. And if some of you might recognize the number, it's the same one that's in the Arduino. And a while back, we purchased a bunch of TQFPs, thin, quad, flat packages of those chips, which are a lot smaller. And I tried to solder them by hand, but boy, is that tough. Actually, it's not the soldering by hand that's tough. It's making the boards so that you can solder them. So I'm really looking forward to getting a chip, one of these 18 megas on there and testing it out.
And they just look beautiful.
I know, they look fantastic.
There's these little purple boards. You can even make an icon for on your board. And it's a piece of art when it comes back.
I know, it is.
You've worked on it. You know, you've moved things around so they fit in a small space. You get really excited, and it takes about 3 weeks to come back. And yeah. It's neat to see it through.
And I don't know if you remember, but I think I did something really neat where I took all of the outputs, or they could be inputs, right, but all of the connections to the pins that are going to be the digital input and output, and I made them as pads with 100 mil spacing on the underneath side of the board, which means you can just plop it onto something and solder it on, or you could solder in headers onto the side and plug them into a breadboard because the spacing is right.
But didn't we think of those angled headers?
And we can do that too.
Yeah. Because I thought we're considering the angled headers a lot at that point, the 90 degree angle.
Yeah.
And we're like, wow, we can really see, you know, how this could be used in many applications.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely one of the possibilities. Anyway, so the next thing is kind of related, but just as a fun thing, we had put a little drawing on there of a crane and a star, kind of as a logo. And we're thinking of different names for the logo. And one of them was Alpha Boo Crane, because we were thinking the star could be Arcturus. And that's also Alpha Boetes, or Boetes. I don't know exactly how to pronounce it, but what's really neat, which I just found out, I looked it up. And so that's the constellation, the Herdsman, Boetes. And when you look it up, the two O's in a row, the second one has like an umlaut, or a prima in French. And I found out it's actually from Greek, the word Boetes. And it's basically it's basically herdsman, but it's more like steerman for a cow or something like that. And the umlaut it's not really an umlaut, but basically it's a mark that says that the two vowels have to be pronounced separately. Anyway, I thought that was kind of a neat thing.
Yeah.
And that's the way that tremas is used in French. That's why you say Noël and maïs for corn. So that's all. I just thought that was a neat linguistic thing there.
As you were talking, I just typed it into a Google search to see what it would ABC come
crane.
Up. And yeah. And you get this wonderful apparatus for hooking up cameras on football games, stadium games, so you get different angle views.
Oh, there's actually something called an ABC
crane. Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Anyway, I thought it was kind of fun.
Okay. So the next thing is, backup systems. I'm not going to say much about, except maybe that'll be a future blog entry, but I just got a really cool backup system set up for the house, and that's been an ongoing thing.
It's taken a lot of thought.
It's taken a lot of time, and it's the typical thing about programming something where you can be absolutely certain that you have everything figured out, and you run it, and something really, really obvious goes wrong, and you just don't see it. It really makes you wonder, like, when someone is absolutely certain of themselves, just how easy it is for us to just confuse ourselves and just not see things, and yet be absolutely convinced we understand everything about a particular very narrow topic. Let's see. Boy, I'm seeing the time go by. This is really, like, we're moving on. So, for those of you that can't see, we're both pointing at Audacity, recording what we're saying on a computer between us, and we're up, like, 21 minutes or so. Anyway. So moving on, microphones. Yeah, the quality of this podcast might not be the greatest because we're just using the computer microphone here. But earlier I'd been testing out all these microphones we had, these really big ones that are over here, and they're all marked dynamic.
The ones that are held together with super glue, you mean?
Yes, those ones. But I mean, I thought they were pretty good microphones, right? Yeah. And I couldn't figure out why I couldn't make them work. And it turns out one of the types of microphones are called dynamic microphones. And that what's fantastic about them is they have a humongous dynamic range so that you can just put them right up to your mouth and just shout into them and they won't top out.
They'll be
able to do the full volume, right? So, but the downside is you really do have to hold them right up to your mouth for them to record anything. But if you do, then because of this feature, there's no noise, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so they're not really going to be useful for this because we want to type in stuff and we don't want to have to look up stuff. So that was the thing about dynamic microphones. But for the future, that's something we'll get. I had on there the makerspace at the middle school, but you talked about that already. Mm-hmm. So the last thing which you did not see on here on the list was the Orion tracker, which I had worked on. So was a couple weeks ago, I think, I had the stand for our Orion telescope in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this tracker we got with it, and I'd taken it apart and I was trying to feed the signals into an oscilloscope to see what these signals were. And I couldn't figure it out. It wasn't a protocol that seemed obvious to me, but that's something definitely that we're going to come back to in the future. And even if I can't figure it out, I can actually wire up the buttons.
Right.
On the inside. And because the idea is you put the telescope outside with your, I don't know. It could be as simple as an Arduino with a wireless network.
Right.
Or maybe an entire Raspberry Pi out there.
Right.
And then have it track by controlling the gears, and looking at the image. So that's a really exciting project, but kind of on hold right now because there's so much happening.
We also had a few issues with our telescope because it's something that's been used by the entire family and not always with the same care
when
the parents are present. And we just realized that. And
so I have to say,
it's better to be used.
When I took it out. Exactly. When I took it out.
I can't get angry. It's better to be used than sitting in a closet.
I mean, we hadn't used it in, I think, a year.
Yeah.
But out of the blue, Isaac started using it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I took it out to check out the tracking mechanism, I was surprised. That telescope's aged quite a bit. I am really happy that it's been used. This is really awesome.
Actually, he used it when he took his astronomy class, and we should have offered it to Luke.
I never thought of this.
I just realized.
That's right. That's right. Well, Luke is around like every other weekend at least.
By.
So, yeah, that's a good idea. So, that's actually the last thing on my list. So, I was thinking we could go over future plans unless you have something else.
Yeah, that sounds great.
To talk about. Some of these kind of went on into future plans.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So now, part 3 of the podcast. And we're at a little over 25 minutes. Okay. Did you want to go first again? Actually, I didn't see any future plan from you.
One of my future plans, actually, I'm stealing yours. I just noticed it written down. It has to do with Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
And we'll be using it with a camera. So we have the Raspberry Pi camera set up. And it'll be exciting to get that working. My goal is in the future to have one set up in the field and maybe do some camera work in the field of organisms in a particular area.
Yeah, I'm really excited for you to do that because, mm-hmm. I mean, so obviously there's the whole camera hookup mm-hmm. with the telescope that I'm interested in, but I mean, that's probably going to end up being a different camera, but as a first step, you know, working with that and getting the images out. And mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's it. Well, go ahead.
I digress. So when we were out orienteering one time,
yeah,
we were running through the woods, and I did a Superman fall, you know, the ones where you go completely off of your feet, you're in the air for a bit, and then you go flat in your belly.
I remember several. Which one specifically are you talking about?
The one in particular that I did, yeah. I looked up, and I thought, what is that thing? And I was like, ah, oh, isn't that nice? It's one of those field cameras.
Where is this?
It was in Umstead. And it was the one off of 40. I was like, ah, oh, very nice.
That's funny.
And well, Isaac, when I told Isaac goes, you're probably on YouTube now. I know. I'm like, I'm not looking.
As part of a nature video.
Under their spoofs. But anyway, it will be interesting, and you mentioned that we might even be able to get the nocturnal organisms. We could use the infrared.
Yeah,
range.
They have an infrared specific camera. I don't mm-hmm. know. I don't know how. What's different about it? I know that a lot of the cameras, it seems like there's an infrared filter in the front, so obviously mm-hmm. that's got to go.
Right.
But I don't know if the chip is actually different, that it's more sensitive in right. infrared or.
So definitely a future plan, not for any time soon.
Right.
Getting one up and running with a group of kids will be exciting.
Is that that's your future plans?
That's my future plans.
Okay, well, I have a bunch of fun ones. So I've my blog entry's due today.
Yep.
It's like, well, it's 3/4 written.
Good.
Actually, it's all written, but the last part needs to be cleaned up a bit. And so it'll be about Raspberry Pis being used to control a second monitor next to a computer. That's been just an amazing change. It's going to be surprising. You know, I thought it was going to be a really fun blog entry to write, and then I started reading it over, just reviewing it, and it was, wow, this is really dry. I mean, I don't know, I'm going to have to, like, spruce it up to get people to understand how really exciting this is to get it working. But anyway, so that's coming up, probably by the end of the day. I'll mm-hmm. finish that up. And then I don't know when, in the next few months, probably WN8 is going to be released. And we have quite a, well, we have one computer, actually, the computer that's recording this podcast right now is in desperate need of update. It's using Kubuntu 12, I think, which I think is pretty old. It seems like it's been on this computer for a while. So I know I've already had some problems with, I can't remember right now. There's something, oh, well, I use GIMP for making our maps for orienteering. Mm-hmm. And the newer version that's in Debian 7, you can make folders. That is a really fantastic feature for when you're working with layers. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you group all of your controls together and lines you put on the map in another one and so on.
Right.
And so that's missing from the older GIMP that's on Kubuntu 12.
Neat.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to Debian. I'm always looking forward to a new Debian release. Mm-hmm. So that'll be fun. So I have here Middle School Enrichment Club that you're going to be doing.
Right.
So when's that starting? Do you know
that's starting in February. I get to find out my numbers probably next week. And it's going to be pretty exciting. I'm hoping to get kids that are really excited uh-huh. about electronics, and hopefully not hyperactive too. Because that always causes breakage. But the few kids that have been interested, like that are not on eighth grade, they have been just really excited about the Raspberry Pis. So I have to call Amazon or email Amazon, make sure my order is going to come. Also, I'm really excited about working with them because they also seem open to ARTIF. The three people that I talked about ARTIF. ARTIF, if you don't know, is...
Yeah, you better explain that.
Yeah, I thought I better explain. It's a radio transmitter is placed in the field, and you use a receiver, and you try to hone in on where the transmitter is and find it. And there are competitions for this where they'll set out many transmitters, and you run out and you try to get or find all the transmitters you can, and it's within a certain amount of time
yep.
that they have for you to do this. So it's interesting. It's really exciting. The person that will be coming to show the students how to do it, she's like a world champion. And she actually grew up in Russia, and she's had a competing Russian team, and two of her students that she coached has actually gained national and international titles.
I recall you're talking about Nadia.
Nadia, yeah.
That we know from orienteering.
Right, that we know from orienteering. So really, it's just one of these interesting situations where the students will have an opportunity that they could never have anywhere else.
Yeah.
And so it's exciting.
It's really also fun to hear, I mean, that she was such a high-level competitor and was also interested. I mean, we knew that, but that she was so interested in education.
Yeah. Like, she is so excited. She asked me every time I go about, you know, if I have any more dates and that. And so I'm trying to make sure that I know the exact dates that she comes and I can get her out to work with a few kids.
Yeah.
So.
Enrichment Club starts in February. How long does it go until?
It goes to the end of March and April. I think it might go into April.
I don't know how much we're going to get done this year.
No. I think one outing might be great.
Right.
I don't know if we'll be able to plan more,
yeah.
But then it's something that can build up next year. So, that's the way I see it, but it's hard to know.
So this is a great segue into two different future plans that I had on my list. One of them is that we're actually building ARDF transmitters for 80 meters, for the 80 meter band. So that's going to come up.
In fact, that's why we sent away those plates to be made.
That's right. The ones from Marsh Park. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I can actually probably use one of them directly in the transmitters, but I think I'd like to design whole new ones that are specific for the transmitters.
I think you should.
We only got three.
Right.
And as far as breakout boards go, you know, they'll be used very fast. There's always a need to be able to get more chips for different projects and whatnot. And the other thing that this brings up is the meet on March 22nd, which I don't know. We talked about it, but I don't know if we mentioned when it's
no,
was.
We didn't.
So the meet we are planning and for which we're mapping, well, not mapping, but course setting at Falls Lake is coming up March 22nd. Mm-hmm. And it seems like still a fair bit away. I mean, it's January 18th, but boy, it took so much work to get this far.
Yes.
And even if everything goes really well, if we want to do some mapping to make a difference for the competitors when they run the meet, who knows how long that'll take.
I know.
So,
but it's been a fun...
Oh, it's
a
been
a fun time going out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we've been having like serious cold going out there, like in below zero weather.
Yeah.
And then going out in the rain and that. So we haven't been going in just the nicest of conditions. No. We've been trying to get it done so we can move on and improve it.
I think we've been driven by fear.
Yes,
fear. Of not being able to complete on time.
Right. So. I also think we need to really start our meet early, because I'm afraid that it might take longer than normal times.
Maybe.
I don't know. And for the orienteers, if it takes longer, oh my goodness, they're going to be out there an extra half hour. But for the ones that are just barely at that level of the the red, they may take an extra hour.
Look, I was looking at the map, and we've got a lot of zigzagging, right? Mm-hmm. So if someone gets in trouble, so we start at the north end, and then there's the lake on the west, and then there's the road on the east.
Right.
So with all the zigzagging, if you get in trouble, you probably can just head north, and no matter where you are, you're going to end up back at the start.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, you might hit the road or the lake, and you know,
Right. It did seem much smaller when we were doing the whole course. Yeah.
So the map is 1 to 10,000, but I was looking at different meets where they use a lot of them, 1 to 15,000, I think, for these types, you know, for a red course, which means, you know, that would really stretch it out. Mm-hmm. You know, you could be halfway through the meet and end up way out there and have a long ways to go to get back. Mm-hmm. So that's not going to be the case for ours. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I think this wraps it up.
Okay.
Did you want to add anything else before we go on to the wrap up part 4?
No.
No?
No, I think I'm set.
Okay, so thank you for listening to the Frontal Harvest podcast.
Make sure to check out our blog.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.